John Walden here. I'd like to read with you from the 9th chapter of the book of the Revelation. If you have been with us in past studies, you will remember that we're now studying about the sounding of the trumpets, and that the seven trumpets, of course, remind students of the Bible of the seven trumpets blown on seven successive days at the fall of Jericho in the Old Testament. So, of course, they stand for the judgments of God. And these judgments are yet future, as is everything from Revelation 4 and verse 1 on to the end of the book. And they tell us of the great tribulation period, which is yet to come. Now, chapter 8 closed with a statement of a warning from God, saying with a loud voice, "Woe, woe, woe to the inhabitants of the earth, or those whose home is the earth, who are not of God, but are earth dwellers, by reason of the other voices of the trumpets of the three angels, which are yet to sound." Now the first four trumpets brought terrible judgments, as we saw. But the next two are even worse. The fifth angel sounded, chapter 9 and verse 1 says, "And I saw a star fall from heaven." The Revised Version says, "I saw a star fallen from heaven." And this takes us back to chapter 8 and verses 10 and 11, where the third angel sounded, "And there fell a great star from heaven, burning as it were a lamp, and it fell upon the third part of the rivers and upon the fountains of waters. And the name of the star is called Wormwood, and the third part of the waters became wormwood, and many men died of the waters because they were made bitter." Now this tells us of some great religious leader, perhaps the leader of the apostate church, the great world church toward which men are striving today, and the ecumenical movement will be successful. The Bible tells us this, but not until all true Christians are taken away at the rapture of the church, the true church. When the Lord takes home those who are really His, all those who profess religion, who are left in all of the churches of the world, will be glad to go together. There won't be a thing to keep them apart, because they don't believe anything anyway. It's very easy to agree. And they get together under some great leadership. And this evidently is what is meant by this star fallen from heaven. Now, to him was given the key of the bottomless pit. And he opened the bottomless pit, and there arose a smoke out of the pit as the smoke of a great furnace. And the sun and the air were darkened by reason of the smoke of the pit. Then he tells about the locusts that came on the earth, and they had power as the scorpions of the earth had power. Now, lest we should think these to be literal locusts, he notices that they are not to hurt the grass, nor any green thing, nor any tree, but only those men which have not the seal of God in their foreheads. These were sealed earlier, we saw, in chapter 7. And to them it was given that they should not kill them, but that they should be tormented 5 months. And their torment was as the torment of a scorpion when he striketh a man. Now, what are we to understand by all this? Well, first of all, I believe that this apostate leader, who undoubtedly will publicly denounce Christianity, will lead the world in a great development of apostasy. Now, we've seen higher criticism rise in a cultured country like Germany, and yet we have seen Germany completely devastated in two world wars. And this is what's going to happen in a future day. Apostasy will envelop the whole world. In the present day, there's a trend toward apostasy and a catering to politics. And notice that he has a key. Peter was given a key. And the Lord said that the lawyers, Judaistic teachers, had taken away the key of knowledge. So evidently this stands for a system of teaching. This is the strong delusion referred to in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, I believe, where he says God shall send them strong delusion that they might believe a lie, that they might all be damned who believe not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. All Christ rejectors will be plagued with this terrible thing which will come. Notice that these locusts This plague, this spiritual plague, comes up out of the bottomless pit. That is, hell is its source. And the devil is the source of all false teaching. These locusts were said to have over them as a king, the one who is called Abaddon and Apollyon. And these are two names for the devil himself. So Satan himself is the source of all lies, as the Lord Jesus is the source of all truth. He is the truth. Don't believe everything that you hear. Test it by the word of God. The Bereans were more noble than those of Thessalonica, because they heard the word with all readiness of mind and searched the scriptures daily whether these things were true. Now these locusts were like horses. They made rapid progress. They had crowns on their heads, showing that they were triumphant. They had faces like men, showing that they were intelligent. They appealed to the intellect. But they had hair like women, showing that there was something very attractive about all this. And they had a very limited time which they could act. I see no reason why this shouldn't be 5 actual months. Anyway, in these months, the terrible things that happen cause men to want to die, but they're not able to. Now this is followed in verse 13 by the sounding of the sixth trumpet by the sixth angel. And here something entirely different takes place, although it comes out of the same source. He says to loose the four angels which are bound in the great river Euphrates. Now, Euphrates has long been considered the division point between the east and the west. Right today, we're faced with a terrible conflict between European peoples and the Asiatic peoples. And even our statesmen today are wondering, how long can the Asiatic hordes be held back? Well, they'll be held back as long as God permits these four angels to hold them back. But then at the loosing of this time, and it says they were prepared for an hour and a day and a month and a year. That's in verse 15. More literally, they were prepared for the hour and the day and the month and the year. So, the day is coming, the hour is coming, when God is going to loose the ferocious, swift, and satanically led Asiatic hordes. And we will see slaughter as this world has never seen before. There were 200 million of them named in verse 16. And we're told in verse 18, well, in verse 17, out of their mouth issued fire and smoke and brimstone. This shows that the whole thing is satanic. He's leading in this terrible conflict. And in verse 18, we're told by these three were the third part of men killed, by the fire, by the smoke, and by the brimstone, which issued out of their mouths. Think of the devastating of this world and the slaughter of a third of the population. Now, by the time this takes place, say that we, increasing at the present rate, say we have 3 billion people on the earth. 1 billion people are slain in this short space of time. What is the effect on the people? What happens as a result of this? Well, it says, the rest of the men which were not killed by these plagues, yet repented not of the works of their hands, that they should not worship devils, and so on. Neither repented they of their murders, nor their sorceries, nor their fornication, nor their thefts. Trouble does not bring men to repentance. False teachers who tell us that ultimately all people are going to be saved, that hell will only be a kind of a purgatory where people will be turned back to God, ought to read this passage and think it over very seriously. Trouble does not bring men to repentance. If the goodness of God doesn't lead you to repentance, as he says in the second chapter of Romans, neither will the judgments of God. Think how long God has waited for some of you. Think how long the Lord has patiently called to you, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Think how much he went for you on the cross, how much he went through for you on the cross. Think how much he did for you. And then think what it means to turn your back upon him. Do you know that in hell itself, Not only will people be weeping because of their suffering, but they will be gnashing their teeth, which shows that they are angry and defiant against God. You die in your sins and you will be eternally sinning, as you will be eternally suffering. I don't like to talk about these things, but we're facing the most awful things that have ever happened on the face of this earth. And God has been waiting a long time for men to come to Him. If you haven't come to Him, by all means, do so and do it right now. And if you are a Christian, don't be afraid of these things that I'm reading about in the book of the Revelation. The church goes home to heaven in the first verse of the fourth chapter. And all of these things are future. Look at the first chapter in verse 19 again, where the divisions of the book are given very clearly. And these things from chapter 4 and verse 1 onward are the things which shall be after these things. The church is not going to go through the great tribulation. There was a promise definitely given in the third chapter that they would not go through the great tribulation. If you belong to the Lord, you're not going to face the awful judgments under these seven trumpets. But, brother and sister, ought we not to be doing all we can to rescue other souls? Shall we just sit down and be satisfied and happy that we have escaped judgment, that we will never see the sorrows and the troubles of the great tribulation? We will never see the lake of fire? Or should we not be trying to rescue those who are still out of Christ? Try to get to them before these false teachings, the apostasy teaching, which is already spreading so rapidly, engulfs them. Let's pray. Our Father, we thank Thee for Thy dear Son. We thank Thee for Thy holy word, that it is the truth, and that we have been rescued from apostasy, from false teaching, from the false cults. Bless Thy dear children. Keep us close to Thee. And save the lost, we pray again in the precious name of our Savior. Amen.